Joe, before you're cleared, do you have a love for God?
Check.
Time for God?
Check.
Is your Bible open?
Check.
Do you have no distractions?
Check.
Well, Joe, we are cleared for takeoff.
Heaven, how might this be my story? Heaven, how very soon I'll be gone. Heaven, how to my mansion in glory. When you hear the trumpet sound, I'm heaven bound.
Cleared for Takeoff is a preparatory program for your faith journey. And now, here is your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Clear for Takeoff. My name is Deacon Joe Montone, and it's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. It's a new year, my friends, and welcome back to our program. We just returned from Melbourne, Australia, where we celebrated the wedding of Ferruccio and Olivia Lenardi, our cousins, and what a beautiful ceremony in the Church of Our Lady Star of the Sea in Melbourne, Australia. What a blessing it was to go there. And you know, as we flew to Melbourne, which took actually about 22 hours of flying, it was just an amazing, experience once again to travel across the Pacific Ocean into Australia, to see God's hand through the continents as we journeyed to see our family in Melbourne. But I want to say once again, God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And welcome back to our program, Clear for Takeoff. Today's readings are from the second Sunday in Ordinary Time. And let's begin with our checklist. Number one, do you have time for God? Check. Is your heart open wide for God? Check. Is your Bible open? Check. And are you free of distractions? Check. And if you've answered yes to these four questions, then you and I are ready to engage in the Word of God. Let's go to our first reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 49, verses 3 and 5 through 6. And here it is. The Lord said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, through whom I show my glory. Now the Lord has spoken, who formed me as his servant from the womb, that Jacob may be brought back to him, and Israel gathered to him. And I am made glorious in the sight of the Lord, and my God is now my strength." "It is too little," the Lord says, "for you to be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and restore the survivors of Israel. I will make you a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the book of Isaiah today, my friends, we're given a tremendous message from the prophet Isaiah. And he says this, "Now the Lord has spoken, who formed me as his servant from the womb." And to confirm this, Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and dedicated you to become a prophet, to speak out for the important things in the eyes of God, the morals, the values, the ethics, the biblical principles that God has set forth for the world to live by." And it goes on to say this, "And I am glorious in the sight of the Lord, and my God is now my strength. I will make you a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." So the Lord God Almighty wants the message of the gospel to be given out to the world, all areas of the world, all continents throughout the world, the hearts and minds of people throughout the world, young and old, men and women, people of all color, all creed, all nationalities, all denominations. God calls everyone, my friends, to be a recipient of his salvation. And he says it right here once again, I will make you a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. So for you and I, my friends, we are called to be a light to the nations. And it starts with one person at a time. We meet people where they are, bringing the light of God, the word of God, the peace of God, the love of God, to all hearts and minds, to lift people up, to change their lives, to help them to solve problems, fill voids, satisfy needs, and most of all, to develop a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a calling for all of us, to be a light to the nations. Let your light shine brightly, my friends. Is your light dull? Is it off? Or is it burning brightly for everybody to see? Can God be made visible in you to other people? Do people see God in you, my friends? And do you and I see God in other people? Because we're all called to let our light shine to the nations. We're called from the womb by our Creator, our Heavenly Father, truly to be a voice for the unborn child, for traditional marriage and family life. We are called to be a force for goodness. God says the steps of a good man is in order by the Lord. It's something we can't choose not to do. It's in order to be a good man. And it's powerful. So where is your light today? Are you shining brightly, or is your light on the dull side? Does it need to be turned up? Do we need to replace your bulb to get it recharged? Think about it, my friends, because God's calling us to be a light to people throughout all nations around the world. And as I said earlier, I had the privilege and pleasure with my wife, Maregia, to travel to Melbourne, Australia for a wedding, a family wedding. And it was just a wonderful opportunity to really pray with other people, to lift people up, to bless their homes, you know, which is just a special moment to bless the homes of people who are newly married in the eyes of God in the church, and to bless their families as well, their marriages. And so, you know, we need to let our light shine brightly and to not be reluctant or too reserved or conservative, keeping the word of God, the love of God hidden away. God calls us to be, once again, a light for all to see. And he wants us to do it now. He's calling us to do it. And, you know, this world today needs light, my friends, because we are challenged with darkness in so many ways. We have the opposition out there who are truly working hard, working overtime to destroy the Word of God, to destroy families, marriages, to destroy lives, because that's what Satan does. The evil one wants to destroy life and all that is produced by our God in heaven. So you and I, my friends, have much work to do. And I challenge you today to let your light shine brightly, first and foremost in your own home, to your own families, and then beyond, wherever you go in your daily routine, to bring the light of God into the hearts and minds of other people, to lift them up, to give them hope and great vision into the future, to help them to build a strong relationship with Jesus Christ, a strong faith in God, and to go forward from there. Let's go to our second reading from St. Paul to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, and here it is. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to you who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be holy, with all those everywhere who call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Their Lord and ours, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And from the words of St. Paul to the people of Corinth, St. Paul says once again, he is called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. And Sosthenes, our brother, is also called to the church of God in Corinth. What is your calling, my friends? What are you called to by God? What is your state in life? Some are called to the married life. Some are called to the single life. Some are called to the religious life. And the Word of God goes on to say this, that those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus are called to be holy, with all those everywhere who call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what is your calling? What is my calling? Do we have peace with the knowledge that God is calling us to something, something important, maybe to fatherhood, to motherhood, to married life, maybe to the priesthood or to the diaconate, maybe to the single life, to accomplish things as a single person? This is something we have to discern, to take our time and understand this, that we will have peace when we are in the state of life that God has called us to. We will have peace because we are one with God. We are in alignment with God's will for us. And it's important that we get to that point for you and I to be at peace in our hearts, in our minds. And you can't ask for more than that, my friends, because we know that very often people take action and they move into a certain state in life and it's not good for them, and they end up making a swift change and uprooting and dismantling a marriage, a home, a family, or leaving possibly the holy priesthood. This is important that we discern. We make a good decision based on the peace we have from within with the Holy Spirit, that we are called to a certain state in life and we live up to it. We man up to it. And for each of us, once again, some are called to the married life, some are called to the single life, some are called to the religious life. What is your calling? In the religious life, some are called to be preachers, some are teachers, some are confessors, and some have the great gift of hospitality, which is so powerful, to open not only your home, but also your heart and your mind, to open up your life to other people, to give from within, to give spiritually, mentally, and even physically, whatever it is that you have in that great gift of hospitality. And once again, in our visit to Melbourne, Australia, we saw several individuals who truly can be identified as having that great gift of hospitality. And some cousins of mine, cousin Tina Lunardi, truly has that great gift where they want to do more for you. They want to feed you physically, but also spiritually, slowly reveal their faith in God in different ways. Their alignment with the Blessed Mother Mary. Their faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ over 80 years of life. And it's powerful. And, you know, there are other people that we met who have that great gift of hospitality and have opened the doors of their home and their hearts to those who were invited in. What is your gift, my friends? And what is your state in life? Take your time, pray about it, allow the Holy Spirit to work on your life, to develop you into the man or woman that you are called to be in the eyes of God. Let's go to our gospel reading. From the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 29 through 34. And here it is. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one of whom I said, 'A man is coming after me who ranks ahead of me because he existed before me.' I did not know him, but the reason why I came baptizing with water was that he might be made known to Israel." John testified further, saying, "I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from heaven and remain upon him. I did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'On whomever you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' Now I have seen and testified that he is the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a powerful gospel from John. One of the four Gospels, from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Today we explore John 1, verses 29 to 34. And John says this, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And this phraseology, this terminology, is captured and repeated at every holy mass throughout the world every day. It's something that we cannot do without. Again, John says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, the sacrificial Lamb of God." We're talking about Jesus Christ, who takes away the sins of the world when he truly is sacrificed. His life is given up to help us to gain salvation, eternal life. Through his death and resurrection, we are given access to eternal life. "No one comes to the Father except through me," says our Lord Jesus Christ. But here John says it so beautifully, and he refers to the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God, the sacrificial Lamb. And once again, in Mass, Holy Mass throughout the world, this phrase is repeated time and time again at each and every Mass. John said this, he said, "Now I have seen and testified that he is the Son of God." And so we know that there are entities out there, there are people out there who refuse to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But here we have testimony from the Apostle John. We have testimony from the Word of God identifying Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And there is a wide array of information making the case for Jesus as the Son of God. We just celebrated only 2 weeks ago the great birth of Christ, the greatest gift ever to be given to the world, when God sent down his only begotten Son and gave us Jesus. And he lived for 33 years. His ministry went from age 30 to 33. But he lived for 33 years before he was put to death. And then upon his crucifixion, you know, he rises from the dead 3 days after. And after that, he preaches for 40 days on the mountaintops to the people who witnessed his death, his crucifixion. He preaches to them. He brings them the word of God the Father. He gives them the guidance and direction for life itself. He gives them insight to eternal life from his perspective as the Son of God. And he ascends on a cloud into heaven. And 9 days later, sends the Holy Spirit upon the apostles and our Blessed Mother Mary, giving us the beautiful gift of the Holy Priesthood. And with this knowledge and information through the Word of God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, through the Gospel of John today, we are given a tremendous message that the life, the death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ was for a great reason, that he is indeed the Son of God. John testifies to that when he says, "Now I have seen and testified that he is the Son of God," referring to Jesus Christ. My question to you and I is, what is your testimony? What are you willing to say about our Lord Jesus Christ? Are you outspoken, reserved, very conservative, quiet, unspoken? Because today, my friends, there are entities out there who are opposed to the word Jesus Christ, who are opposed to the message of the gospel, who are opposed to the morals, the values, the ethics, the biblical principles that God has given us to live by. Yes, there are those who are opposed to it. So what is your testimony? God is calling us once again to speak out. Once again, from the womb, God says he knew us. Jeremiah 1:5 said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and dedicated you to become a prophet, to speak out, to give 100% towards the message of the gospel, to help people to find their faith in God, their hope in God, and their love for God." Faith, hope, and love, St. Paul says, are the three greatest things in the world. And it will be love that is the most greatest, that is the greatest of all, that continues on even after our death. But I lay this out for you, my friends, to inspire you, to motivate you, to give your testimony to other people. First and foremost, to your family, at the dinner table, at the breakfast table, through prayer, in conversation, and through private events that can be viewed as an opportunity to lift up those who are depressed, those with anxiety, those who are living with disappointment or sadness. What can you do, once again, to be a light to other people? Let your light shine brightly. God calls us once again to be a voice for goodness. He calls us to give testimony. And there will be division in families. There will be division in friendships because of a difference of opinion on where you and I sit with regard to our belief in Christ, our belief in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our belief in the gospel of Jesus Christ from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, our belief in the incredible individuals that God empowered who went out to be a voice for goodness once again, the great prophets. Today we talked about the prophet Isaiah and coming from the book of the prophet Isaiah chapter 49 verses 5 to 6. We talked about the Gospel of John. We talked about the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. And these are special people who have been lifted up by God, who let their light shine to all nations. They are role models for you and I, my friends. They are standing on the front lines as evangelists, as frontline speakers, bringing love and peace to other people. And like our Lord Jesus Christ, who said to many people time and time again, peace be with you, peace be upon you, peace be with you. You and I need to follow suit and to bring the peace of God to other people as well. There is no greater gift that you and I can give than the love of God, the peace of God, through the Word of God into the hearts and minds of other people. There's no greater gift, no check we can write that will surpass the value of the peace that God has given me or you that we can deliver to other people's hearts and minds. This week, a friend of mine passed away, Myron Moskowitz, and we just remember him at this moment. He was a force for goodness. He had a conversion experience, and I just want to say publicly that he was he lived out his faith, and he was a converted man from Judaism to Catholicism, and I watched that happen years and years ago. But I thank Myron and Mary for the great service they have provided to other people in the church as he was a deacon in the Diocese of Philadelphia. But my friends, that's our show for today. I challenge you, my friends, to be a light to the nations and to give your testimony to your family, to your friends, and to all those who you come in contact with this week. That's our show for today. My name is Deacon Joe Montone. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have a great day. That's our show. We'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio, and clear for takeoff. God bless.
You have been listening to Cleared for Takeoff with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, a weekly preparatory program for your faith journey.